Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless as he talks to successful real estate professionals and asks them to share their best advice ever. From deal syndicators to wholesalers, flippers, property managers, pest inspectors, and everyone in between. It's the best ever advice and none of the fluff. Let's go.
A quick word from our sponsor, The Door Devil. Homeowners spend hundreds on alarm systems each year, but rarely reinforce the weakest point on the home, the doors. Bad guys know this, and that's why kick-ins are so common. Simply adding Door Devils virtually eliminates the home security gap. Sleep better tonight. Reinforce your doors. Visit DoorDevil.com and enter Best Ever to get an exclusive 20% discount on your purchase. Hello, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Louis Rodriguez. Hey, Louis.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Doing great. And I'm excited to have Louis on the show. He is an experienced multifamily investor. He's based in New Orleans, Louisiana. He started investing right before Katrina in 2005, and he started with 2 to 4 unit multifamily deals, and he's since consolidated all of the multifamily deals, the smaller ones that he had purchased, and he's consolidated them into 3 properties, a 16-unit, a 37-unit, and a whopping 120-unit. So all in, he has over 170 units, 173 to be exact, and he is a long-term hold investor. So I'm excited to speak with him about his best real estate investing advice ever, and I know you as a best ever listener are going to love to hear what he has to say. So Louis, you ready to get going?
Yeah, Joe, ready to go.
So can you tell us a little bit more about your real estate background and what you're focused on now?
Sure. I have a fairly traditional background when it comes to my career and how I got involved in the real estate business. I like to call it taking the scenic route because, you know, looking back now, it sometimes surprises me that I even purchased one single unit. So starting off, you know, I kind of went the traditional path. I earned a bachelor's and a pair of master's degrees and settled into a good job with a Fortune 500 company, but I was pretty miserable due to the structure and the long hours in front of an Excel spreadsheet and and the corporate policies and all that. It just simply wasn't, it wasn't congruent with what I wanted to do. And so as far back as 18, 19 years old, I was, you know, I had this vision of real estate being path for me to achieve financial freedom. I initially thought after that, I kind of thought gaining knowledge alone would get me there. And I started to read all I could. And I started to try to understand real estate as best I could, you know, over time. So right around mid-2005, I made a small leap. I purchased a duplex, a two-unit property right outside of New Orleans. I renovated it and lived in one side and rented out the other, kind of traditional, you know, entree into apartment investing. And then about 5-6 months later, a little storm named Katrina came through and literally wiped it out. So I had about 9 foot of water, total devastation, and the property itself was a total loss from a real estate perspective. But more than that, personally, you know, it was a lot of people, family, friends lost a lot more. So sort of put things into perspective, but it was a rocky road starting off there with my first investment. So looking back, though, without Katrina, I'm not sure that I'd be where I am today, at least from an investment perspective. So I wasn't, you know, not only inspired to rebuild that property and to persevere through the whole entire rebuilding process, but I also overcame a lot of fears, I think, at that point that were holding me back from following my plan in real estate. So after that, all bets were off. I left my corporate job and I set out to gain all the experience I could in real estate. So I worked in residential mortgage lending. I did some capital placement for real estate developments. Back then, we were doing a lot of tax credit financing, bond financing, and that in the post-Katrina environment. And then I also worked as a commercial broker for some time. But my big break, or what I like to think of as my big break, was that I had the opportunity to apprentice under New Orleans' most storied and prolific commercial developer. And that experience was just incredible. It was very difficult. He was a very tough guy, but I learned a whole lot there. I asset managed office space, retail space, single-family residential, hospitality properties, and then some multifamily as well. And so that experience overall was phenomenal, as you can imagine, but it wasn't the real estate knowledge that I gained there. It was really the perspective shift. I learned from a self-made billionaire, essentially, who came from nothing, kind of how he viewed the real estate world. And simply what it taught me was that I can do this. The veil was sort of lifted at that point in time. So I won't get into too much more detail concerning the background, but what happened during those few years apprenticing under him, I selected multifamily as my path in terms of my investment type, my asset type. And it was largely because of all of the assets I was able to see at that time, and I was able to weigh out the pros and cons of each at a very high level. So generally speaking, that's my background, and I started getting into the multifamily on a small level from that point forward.
You mentioned the quote-unquote big break where you had the opportunity to apprentice with the most successful commercial developer, a self-made billionaire. How did you get that big break?
Very interesting. I wrote him an email, of all things. I wrote him an email kind of outlining my goals, outlining who I was and you know, what I had been working on, and just saying, you know, I'm really motivated to get this experience. It was kind of, and he interviewed me, sent me to an assessment center, you know, put me in front of 10 of his guys and kind of put me through it all. And then ultimately I was able to get that job and essentially got on board with him and spent about 3 years under his watch.
And why did you email him?
I was at that time, you know, I'd been doing the mortgage brokers thing, and it was going well. Things started kind of drying up in a post-Katrina environment, and also the mortgage crisis was kind of on the horizon. And so I knew that I wanted to get out of the lending side, and I wanted to really gain some actual development experience or some investment experience. And so I was ready to take another step and get some more experience, and I thought, who better to teach me the ropes than what I call Mr. C is his nickname.
Then the best, it sounds like.
Yeah, essentially.
Based on your experience, what would you say is your best real estate investing advice ever?
I received a ton of advice, both from that mentor, but also other folks that I've come across in real estate. And you know, I know a lot of successful folks that do a variety of different asset types, a variety of different strategies, and also know some not so successful folks. So this advice is my favorite best advice, I guess is what I call it. And it comes from another highly, highly successful investor that amassed a portfolio of multifamily assets valued at over $1 billion, at least over $1 billion. And his advice, very simple as it is, it was never sell, never sell. You don't have to sell to succeed. And I was perplexed by that a bit because obviously at face value, this advice seemed very simplistic and really old school and perhaps to some folks obsolete. But there was much more to the story. And so first I knew that I wanted to be like this gentleman as an investor. He had reached sort of the pinnacle as well. So he had a lot of credibility going into this. So I was all ears when he gave me that advice. But I was curious, why never sell? Second, he gave me some visible examples of folks that I knew of, especially the mentor that I mentioned, the guy I did the apprenticeship under. He showed me some examples of those who sold their assets over the course of, let's say, 10, 20, 30 years versus those who held on to them. And a light bulb went off because I saw the value of some of those assets and I saw the amount of cash flow they were generating. And my eyes were open. And also my mentor, the one I did the apprenticeship, he had knocked on the door of bankruptcy multiple times. And whereas this guy gave me the advice, he had never really been in that boat. So this gentleman, in sort of offering this advice, he was really advocating investment over trading, I guess, long-term growth over speculation. And not that those aren't great philosophies, but that was his advice and his strategy in terms of multifamily. And then third, he gave me a little bit of a parable, a story that I'll share with you. His parable was a story about a snowball. And if you roll a small snowball down a mountain, it starts off very small. And, you know, as it begins to roll down, it picks up more and more snow until ultimately it becomes bigger than the mountain itself. And the way he translated for me was that the snowball was a small portfolio. He had started with only two units as well. And as he continued to grow the portfolio, instead of discarding the snowball and picking up a newer one, a bigger one, he just let the snowball kind of roll down the mountain. And instead of getting, you know, rid of units by selling, he would essentially use his units to pick up more snow and to pick up more of size of his portfolio. So most of the reasoning behind this was that, you know, unless an asset's a really bad one, a terrible area, or you're absolutely desperate for cash, use your assets to grow and don't just you know, try to sell and resell. So essentially, I was very confused and I asked some more questions. And what I learned from him was that he utilized his existing portfolio of assets and he refinanced them, and tax-free refinanced them to buy more units in the portfolio. So instead of selling out, let's say, in my case, a 16 unit, he would refinance that asset and tax-free, able to take that equity and put it into the next to the next project and continue on that way. And essentially, I say it's probably my favorite piece of advice because I used it earlier this year with the 16 units and the 37, and I refinanced those two tax-free, and I took that cash out, and I bought the 120 unit. Well, a large percentage of the equity or the down payment came out of that refinancing. So essentially, it's something that I've used, and it was probably my favorite piece of advice to date.
I love that advice, and I definitely understand the principles behind it. Help me understand with your portfolio, because it sounds like you went from 2 to 4 unit deals and you had a lot of them, then you consolidated into larger properties. So did you sell those smaller units?
I sold in the beginning. I did sell one property, and that got me to the 16 unit deal. And so essentially in the very beginning, I did sell the first two units that I purchased. So essentially I went from 2 to 4 to 16, and then from 16 to the 37, and the 37 to the 120. And so in terms of his advice, I haven't used it 100% of the time, but I did use I guess what I'm looking at now is how am I going to get from, let's say, 173 to 250 or to 500. And this strategy, it definitely resonates with me. But, yeah, then again, it's not the end-all, be-all, and there are other ways to do it. So I did use a sale at one point to get some capital to buy another property. That's correct.
Now that you've reached, obviously, it's not critical mass in your eyes. For some people, it might be, but in your eyes, it's not. But now that you've reached this point with 173 units, do you foresee adhering to the don't sell, don't sell, don't sell, and taking the approach of freedom finance it tax-free, take the cash out, put it into something larger?
Yes, I do. I think when you look at it, at least from my vantage point, and you're right, I look at this as still – generally speaking, from my perspective, as it being kind of the beginning phases of what I'm trying to grow. But if I look at it, I think there's going to be, you're not going to always, or I'm not going to always be able to refinance and get the full amount of equity that I'll need for future acquisitions. So again, it's either going to come from cash from me, or it's going to come from private investors. So I don't think it's, you know, the only way that I'll be able to grow. I do think it'll probably fit into a lot of the deals that I'll do in terms of growing the portfolio. Now, the never selling, I think this strategy, this philosophy is going to stick with me only because, first off, I love my assets, and then secondly, because I think it's going to help me to grow and to amass the number of units, because that's the way I set my goals, is on the number of units I want to acquire or to own. And so I do think I'm not going to be able to fully refinance an asset and be able to have the full amount of equity that I need for transactions, but it will be some component, I believe, in future acquisitions. Hopefully that answers the question.
Makes a lot of sense. Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Let's do it.
Best ever book you've read.
Okay. I would say, from a real estate perspective, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, because it got me, it sort of planted a seed with me in terms of real estate as a means to financial freedom.
We might have talked about this already, but I'll ask it and then see what you say. Best ever personal growth experience and what you learned from it.
I think Katrina is probably the greatest learning experience, mostly because it took away the pressure of failure, because even if you had no part in it, you still essentially failed. So when you lose it all, I think it's a lot easier to put things into perspective and to appreciate the things that are most important in life. And it helps you to kind of overcome fear. What do you have to lose? I've already lost it once. So that was probably my best ever personal growth experience.
Best ever success habit you practice?
Persistence. Not the smartest or the most talented or anything like that, but I will outlast at least the deals that I do. I'm definitely persistent, and I practice that regularly.
You ever see the video with Will Smith where he said, "I might not be the fastest, I might not be the strongest, but if we get on the treadmill together, I will die before I get off before you."
Yep, that's about me. That's exactly what my philosophy is. You know, if you can outlast the competition, you're halfway there. You know.
Best ever deal you've done?
My first deal, my first multiple unit deal, which I could call my first commercial multifamily deal, my 16 unit, was my favorite and my best to date. It was in the Treme neighborhood, which is now made famous by the HBO series. But when I purchased it, it was a real, real rough spot, and took a lot of time and energy and some capital to kind of turn it around. So essentially, it's tripled or almost quadrupled in value, and rents have doubled since then. So definitely that's been my best to date.
Best ever quote?
Don't be afraid to give up the good to go for the great. And that's a John D. Rockefeller quote.
Louis, what's the best ever place to reach you?
You can reach me via email at Louis, L-O-U-I-S, at Equitas, A-E-Q-U-I-T-A-S, housing.com. Or I'm also on LinkedIn and Bigger Pockets. I actually just joined Bigger Pockets last week. So you can definitely contact me or reach me in any of those places. And I'm eager to, you know, answer any questions or help in any way that I can.
Well, thank you so much, Louis, for being on the show. And I know, you know, the best ever listeners got a lot out of it. I selfishly did as well. And, you know, it's really fascinating and interesting to hear your story, from losing your first property in Katrina, bouncing back, and going from smaller multifamily to controlling 173 properties. And not only that, but how you did it and the initiative that you took and the people that you aligned yourself with, and getting the advice from people who have successfully done what you wanted to do. And I think that's certainly a good recipe for success, and something that is a common theme from the people I interview, and you implemented it and live it day to day.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, you, best ever listener. Do you want more? Then head to joefairless.com, where there are tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And if you want Joe to personally help you reach your goals, then go to the Work with Joe tab on joefairless.com and apply to, well, Work with Joe.